everyone. Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. It's Friday morning, which means it's time for the weekend review and preview conversation, where my guests will recap how markets have performed over the past few sessions and preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Today's conversation will primarily focus on the December employment report as well as the December FOMC meeting. Joining us for the conversation, I'm glad to welcome back Senior Economist America's Brian Rose. Brian, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Thanks, Siobhan. Good morning, everyone.
Let's begin with the December employment report. How did the data come in, and how would you characterize the current health of the U.S. labor market?
Overall, this report was quite a bit stronger than expected. The headline non-farm payrolls were up by 256,000 month over month. That's against consensus of around 163,000. And for 2024 as a whole, we added 2.2 million payrolls, which is, you know, obviously a solid number. There were other good numbers in this report. The unemployment rate ticked down to 4.1%, and basically that is the same level as in June. So it, for a long time, the unemployment rate was creeping up, and now it looks more like a flat trend. And we also had average hourly earnings coming in at 0.3 month over month. That's 3.9% year over year. This is a moderate growth that is at a level that is compatible with the Fed's 2% inflation target, more or less. So, you know, overall, you see strong labor market, but one that's well balanced. So, you know, not overheated. And I should also mention we had other labor data this week. So we had the JOLTS job openings. This is for November, up for the second month in a row. You know, that's a sort of interesting development. The openings have been trending lower for the last almost 3 years, but now up a couple of months in a row. But other numbers in the JOLTS report were weaker. So the hiring rate, quits rate, both down to match their lows for the cycle. So basic story for the labor market, again, is you know, well-balanced, strong, but the hiring is not extremely strong, and that's balanced by low levels of layoffs. So we saw, again, this week, initial jobless claims very low. So, you know, a lot of, in some sense, stability, not a lot of movement in there, and you know, maybe you could say this is in some sense a Goldilocks labor market. The wage growth is strong, but not overly strong. And, you know, it gives you a sense that overall the economy is in a good place given, you know, how healthy the labor market is.
Thank you so much for that overview, Brian. So I want to move outside of the employment report. What were some other notable data releases over the past few days?
So the other key release this week was ISM services PMI. So this gives us a timely snapshot of current conditions in the services industry, which is most of the economy. And it did show a rise of a couple of points to 54.1. That's a level consistent with moderate growth. And there were also some interesting comments from the survey respondents. And I think these comments make a broader point, which is that policy uncertainty is high at the moment as the new administration prepares to take over. And this kind of uncertainty is generally bad for the economy because it makes it hard to plan ahead. And in particular, you see both consumers and businesses changing their behavior ahead of possible tariff increases. So consumer surveys indicate maybe 20% of consumers have bought something because they think tariffs will rise and they wanted to buy before the price went up. So you know, maybe you're buying a German car because you think that we might put tariffs on those cars. But you also, on the business side, you see them importing more stuff from China while they can without tariffs. and building up inventories in some cases. But it's still hard for businesses to make contracts that last more than a few months because they don't know what might happen. It's very difficult for them to predict the cost of any imports, especially from China. You know, what will those costs be a year from now? Very, very hard to know. Maybe there's going to be a 60% tariff on those imports. So again, it makes it difficult to plan, difficult to make, to set prices for anything beyond the very, very short term. And I am a bit concerned that, you know, this could be a problem for the economy going forward. Right at the moment, though, it seems maybe, if anything, this is a positive. Again, you have consumers bringing forward their spending because they're worried that the prices might go up in the future.
So I want to single out the December FOMC meeting minutes, which we received on Wednesday. Were there any notable takeaways, and can you remind our listeners of CIO's current rate cut expectations moving into 2025?
Sure. So the FOMC minutes were more interesting than usual. First, the consensus to cut rates at the December meeting was a bit stronger than expected, so really not that much pushback against that cut. But the minutes also make it very clear that the Fed wants to see further progress on inflation before they cut again. And there were also notes about the possibility of policy-driven inflation. So again, tariffs or maybe aggressive action on immigrants could create inflationary pressure. And, you know, I think the Fed is very sensitive to anything political. But in the minutes, you know, it does reflect it. There was this conversation and there's this general, you know, a worry that we could see policy-driven inflation later this year. And I think the main takeaway from this is that the Fed is unlikely to cut rates again until there's further progress on inflation. It's hard to say exactly what level of inflation would make them cut again, but our base case is that the next rate cut will be in June, after the core PCE inflation, which is the most important inflation measure for the Fed, that should be below 2.5% at the time of the June meeting, and that might let them cut again. But of course, there are risks to that. If we keep getting data like we got this morning with, you know, very strong labor data, it doesn't give the Fed much reason to think about cutting rates. So, of course, if there's bad news in the economy, you know, especially if businesses start to lay off their workers in big numbers and the unemployment is rising, the Fed could cut rates sooner. But if we keep getting strong data, Fed could be on hold the entire year. So, you know, there's really a lot of uncertainty over Fed policy. Our base case, again, is first, next cut in June, and then one more cut this year in September, and that's it. So 50 bips total cuts in 2025. Also, I should mention that in our view, rate hikes are still very unlikely. So, you know, you hear more people talking about this possibility, but unless there's some sign that the economy is overheating, you know, that you're getting overheated labor market that's creating medium-term inflationary pressure, you know, I think the Fed could stay on hold the whole year, but they're really unlikely to start hiking again.
So we are coming to the end of our conversation, and I want to turn to next week. What is taking place that investors should be mindful of?
Yeah, so next week is very busy in terms of data releases. We'll get to the CPI and PPI inflation data, obviously very important for the Fed. We'll get the NFIB survey of small businesses. This tends to lean Republican, and you had the significant jump in the last data after the election. But I think this time we'll get maybe a fuller picture post-election what the small business sentiment looks like. We get retail sales for December. This is the last a really big economic release for the fourth quarter, and will affect fourth quarter GDP tracking estimates. And we also get industrial production, which has been relatively weak spot in the economy. And then also housing starts, building permits, which continue to be constrained by the high level of interest rates. One other thing to mention is the Fed will release its beige book. So this gathers information from all the Fed's contacts across the country. Be very again, this is the first post-election beige book, so it'll be interesting to see what that has. And of course, we need to keep an eye on the political situation. Lots of things going on with with the administration, new administration coming in 10 days from now. A lot of potential for political developments to influence markets, and just have to see how the situation develops in the days ahead.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us, Brian.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.